smart medicina. I'm a lead developer at Miniclip here in Portugal. And I came here today to talk about dynamic content in mobile games. But let me start with a story. Imagine a game developer or a small studio starting their adventure with mobile games development. Many of us were there already. So they have passion for games, they have some skill and knowledge, they have a couple of great ideas and some limited resources. After some time, with a great effort and commitment, they finish the first version of their game. They show the game to their family, to their friends, to the local game dev community, and everyone loves it. Great success! Let's release it right away, they say. Let's share it with the whole world immediately. But it's not possible. Not yet. As many of you know, some mobile stores require a review process before an app can be distributed to check if the app meets all stores requirements. So the process takes from 1 to 2 weeks. Our developers submit their game to all stores, and not to be idle, they start working on features for the next release. Makes sense. After 6 days, when the game is still not approved by those stores, unfortunately, they realize there's a nasty bug in the submitted version. They left a very cheap in-app, which brings ridiculous amount of in-game currency. Well, although it makes perfect sense for testing, release to the audience breaks game's economy, breaks users' experience, and of course reduces potential income. People can unlock all game's features right away without any effort and almost for free. This is not acceptable. But the only thing they can do is to reject the submitted version, fix the bug, and submit it again. Fixing the bug may take 15 minutes, but they use the whole another week for the new review process. And what if there are campaigns to promote the game already started? That sucks. They use time and money. But eventually, they fix it. They resubmit it, and a week after, when the game is finally approved, they decide to release it to the audience. Very excited and curious of players' feedback, they follow reviews in all stores. And then, the reality comes back. People don't like it. They find the game too easy to play. They get too many boosts during the gameplay, which makes the game not challenging enough. It's not well received by the audience. They need to do something about it. But the only way to fix it is by releasing next update, with where they can reduce the amount of boosts given to players. But that update needs to go to store reviews first. Meantime, they have only two options. They can either take their game off all stores or keep providing experience below players' expectations. But players, they never forget. A bad rating in the store or a couple of bad reviews can bury their dream forever. Their game may never be covered. So none of those options is actually good enough. This is an example of a comment we have for one of our games just to show you the user's reaction. We need a better process here. Something that puts more control in our hands and allows us to react faster. Let's design a solution which lets us make immediate changes to our game without a need of submitting a new version to stores. A tool that we can use to react to issues and adapt to user needs as soon as we get their feedback. Having more control of our product is always better. Even when we forget all that story of approval process delay, still to propagate our hot fixes, we need to wait for our players to download latest update from the store. What can we do about it? We need a concept of dynamic content. Let's define it first. Dynamic content is a subset of game data that can be deployed to all active users immediately, without the need of submission to stores nor any user's action. What can be included in that dynamic content? What can it be made of? Well, dynamic content can include, for example, values that are critical to our game. Values that can determine, for example, in-game currency conversion for in-apps. In other words, how much virtual currency we get for money we spend. It may include prices of products in virtual currency. So how much virtual currency we need to spend for a new skin, for a new car, or for a new in-game character. It can even define a XP progression scheme, so how long we need to play to level up, or what reward we get for leveling up. And it can include values that actually control our gameplay and user experience, like how many boosts we get during the gameplay, impact of that boost to the gameplay, how long does one turn last if it's a turn-based game, how much time do we have to reach a checkpoint if it's a race, and things like that. And finally, it can also include text for our in-game streams, which is very useful, especially when you localize your game to other languages and then user complains that the way you translate the word queue to French is actually rude and offensive and you want to change it right away, immediately. I can show you some examples of those critical values that can be included in dynamic system or dynamic content system. We have in Able Pool primarily. Here you can see a tier selector, two versions of it actually. You can think of a tier like of a room within which players are matched together to play with each other. Different tiers, they have different properties. Higher tier is more expensive to play, but it also brings bigger reward both in points and XP. And usually, better, more experienced players play on higher tiers. Lower tiers are for fresh, less experienced users. And to have a better control over players' progression path, but also to give less experienced players higher chance to win, we decided to level lock higher tiers, as you can see on the first image. Well, no one wants to be matched with a way better player during the first game after all. But people thought otherwise. They wanted to have a freedom of choice. Fortunately, we could unlock all tiers by only changing some subset of critical values and deploying it to everyone instantly. With the dynamic content, we can also change the cost of playing on a tier and the reward of points and XP for winning. So with all the above, with the component of critical values that can be deployed to all users instantly, we can already solve every problem our fresh developers had to face so far. And believe me, It saved my butt many times. But since I barely started talking, let's take it even further. Another piece of game data is assets. Assets like textures, sounds, scripts, etc. By replacing textures, we can refresh the game. We can make it attractive again for users who already might got a bit bored with the way it looks like. But the real power comes with scripts. We can use scripts to define layouts of menus in our game, so not only to change textures or scene elements, but also their positions, animations, and even behaviors. We can totally reskin the game. And with scripts describing the game's mechanic, we can create new game modes, different levels, or change the flow of our game. And here I can show you another example from Able Pool by Miniclip, how actually we were able to change the layout of menu with dynamic content. As you can see, layout of product between those two screens is totally different. We also changed icons of files, conversion between money and virtual currency. We even added some new graphical elements. And all that without the need of submission
to stores, nor users updating to the latest version. Finally, combining critical data and dynamic assets allows us to extend our features. We can add totally new products to the in-game shop, we can create new sections
of the store,
or we can make special offers to our users. And this is another example that shows Chatpark from Able Pool. Chatpark is a collection of messages which players can send to each other. And we cannot only change the price of each chatpark or text of parks messages, we can also add or remove messages, switch them between parks. We can add completely new chatparks with new messages, remove existing ones. On all those screens, examples I showed you before, we can also add new tiers, we can add new shop products, or remove ones we already had. And all of that again without releasing any update of our game, only with the dynamic content. Another great adventure of dynamic content is the size reduction of the initial bundle available to download from the stores. Some people will more likely download smaller packages with limited content, and the rest of the content could be delivered later. Let's talk about good practices of dynamic content. So the good system needs to be able to change existing content, add new one, and remove one that's needed anymore. Every piece of critical information should be instantly changeable and effective before restarting the game, but in the way that doesn't confuse our players. So imagine that the player is in the fourth minute of 5 minutes turn. If we change the length of the turn to 3 minutes, he still should be able to finish his 5 minutes turn. We shouldn't change the rules of the game in the middle of it. That would bring confusion. And then we should consider the concept of dynamic content when we design our game to actually be able to maximize its flexibility. For example, if you sell virtual products, rather do it with virtual currency than in-apps. Managing in-apps is more difficult, and with virtual currency, you can actually easier adjust the conversion of money to products, and that conversion can be changed later with the dynamic content. And finally,
Users shouldn't experience any loading times. Downloading and reloading the dynamic content should not be interactive for them. Game needs to be playable before dynamic content is downloaded and functional since the beginning, even with a limited feature set. Because users don't like loading bars. They don't want to wait. We spoke about all those great advantages of dynamic content, but does it have a price? Of course it does. Like everything else, let's talk about its cost. First of all, users need internet connection to download the content, and there's nothing that we really can do about it. Then the process of content deployment has some risk and requires some effort. We're operating on game critical values after all, and we need to be very careful not to break users' experience. Content needs to be carefully prepared by the content owner, process supervised by the release manager, and the game precisely tested by QA to ensure its high quality after deployment. Sometimes all of those roles may be filled by one person. It depends on the scale of the game and the studio. But what if some of those resources are not available? Imagine we want to release a special offer for Christmas Eve, but it's Christmas and people are on vacation. So how to reduce its cost? We need to find a way to provide same dynamic content with less releases. Less releases means less resources to invest. Solution is easy. Let's release part of the content as inactive. It will be there deployed to all active users, but it won't be effective yet, waiting for activation. And we can identify two ways of controlling the lifetime of dynamic content. Time and event based. The time based approach allows us to schedule the lifetime of content in time. It can be activated, for example, after 1st of September, it can be active only for Christmas, or every second week of every 3 months except New Year's Eve. As you see, rules may get very complex. We can even schedule content's lifetime recursively for every Christmas for next 10 years, so we don't need to worry about it anymore. Of course, we would refresh the content from time to time, but if we forgot, it's still there. And then we have event-based lifetime control. It's actually controlled by user's action. When we develop our game, we try to identify meaningful metrics and inform our dynamic system about them. Those metrics can be, for example, user leveling up, user making first, second, or third purchase, user winning or losing his first, second game. And as an example here, we can make to our players a special offer right away, right after they complete the tutorial to encourage them to play further. Or we can offer them a special boost after they lose the first game, just to retain them. And here we have some more examples of dynamic content activated only after deployment. First, it's time-based. It's activated first Friday before Halloween and deactivated 2 days after. Then we have new chat packs and weekly competition that were trigger-based. They were activated first time users logged in into the game after we released those two features. And finally, we have a starter pack, which is an offer, triggered activated again, that we make to our users after they complete the tutorial for the first time. It's already pretty awesome and powerful, but how can we take it even further? Remember when I mentioned that players don't forget when we provide poor experience? But how can we know if the new feature we work on will be well accepted? Other people may have different tastes than us, and although we already did market research, we can never be certain of their expectations. So how do we guarantee the best experience? Let's deploy our dynamic content feature to some of our users and measure their reaction. Or even let's deploy one version of it to some and a different version to others and then compare results. We call it A-B testing. A-B test is an experiment which we divide, in which we divide a subset of players into different groups and provide them slightly different content. When the experiment ends, we select the content which brought best results and deploy it to everyone. And to determine which group brought best results, we can measure revenue and retention fluctuations between those groups. In fact, we A/B tested both those features of dynamic content, new shop layouts and tiers level. So for each experiment, we split our users into two groups and presented them different versions of each. Old shop layout for one, new for others. Level lock for one group, tiers unlocked for others. Metrics we collected after some time allowed us to determine more preferable option for both experiments and apply the final conclusions to all of our players. This here, those are two versions of the same feature, but we can even A/B test whether to have a feature and game at all by activating it only to small parts of users and research their reaction. So we already know what dynamic content is and why we need it so much. Now let's talk about how to put it all in action. Like every system, this one is built out of components which interact with each other. Therefore, in the next step, we should try to identify those components in and interactions between them. First of all, we need to store our content somewhere where it's accessible to all users. Our storage component should allow us to restrict access to data only to our users and limit it only to desired scenarios. We're going to store the information critical to our game after all. That information, when exposed to other people, can make them understand the mechanics of our game, making it vulnerable for exploits. All information critical for the game should be stored encrypted. Looking for a good storage solution, we need to consider our needs for storage capacity and a bandwidth. Because a good practice is actually not to replace one released content with another, but keep all meaningful versions in case we need to roll back to previous one if something goes wrong. Solutions should be also easily scalable in case our user base grows rapidly. Deployment to the components should be fast and easy, but we also need to mind its price for obvious reasons. Then we need a service to distribute that data to all users. Service that keeps track of the current version of content users have and notify them whenever the new version is available. Before it happens, it can validate the content, making sure it's complete and meets all our requirements, confirm it's safe and won't break the game. It can also select which version of content to send to our users and which parts of it to activate and which to keep inactive for now. It can do some initial pre-processing of the data if necessary. And as a part of the distribution service, or as a standalone, we need a controller for our A/B tests. A tool that can split our users into two into different groups, maybe more than two, and target specific content to every of them. Ideally, a final client, our game, won't even receive any information indicating that it participates in some kind of experiment. So this service will provide all needed information to the distribution component to prepare a catalog of data customized for a specific user by filtering out all data of other groups of the experiment user participants. This module is also responsible for collecting metrics from our users to conclude the results of A/B tests. And finally, there's the client, there's our game. So client in the system, client needs to identify itself to the distribution service, providing some kind of unique identifier. Distribution service, communicating with A/B test service if needed, prepares custom dynamic content for that specific user and informs the client where to find it, the content. And having this information, the client can locate requested dynamic content directly on the storage component and download it. Part of the content downloaded by the client at this point can still be inactive. And then the client will activate it when the time or event-based trigger appears. And lastly, the client is responsible for providing all meaningful metrics to analytics system to conclude the results of A/B tests. Let's follow a specific case when we actually release dynamic content to all of our users. I don't know if I have a pointer here. I don't. Oh, maybe I do. No. So let's follow a specific case. All our clients have content, let's say, number one, already downloaded and active. And at some point, we prepare content number two and store it in our storage component on the top. Some of this content is actually to be A/B tested. So we divide the whole content into three pieces. Shared with all groups, specific to group A and specific to group B. When our distribution service detects the new content on the storage component, it informs all active clients about it. When the client realizes that the version of content it has is different than the current one, it requests a distribution service to prepare a new customized content for him, providing his unique client identifier. So the distribution service communicates with A/B test controller to select a group for the client based on client's ID, and then he asks the clients to download version 2A or version 2B. Client downloads the version 2, which is common for both groups, and then A and or B respectively from the storage component. And that's it. That's all about dynamic content in mobile games development.
If you have any questions, now's the time.